Hi, hey everybody. I wanted to just kind of add a bit. I took the precepts two cycles ago, so not this past June, but the June before. And there were a couple of Sangha members that I reached out to ask about. Like, I was a little too nervous to ask Domio, so I like wanted to ask some other people first. And I just wanted to like put it out there that like you should email me if you have questions about it. Like, I would be happy to like talk your ear off about it. It was like I really it was a great thing for me, and I think it's a wonderful experience. So if you don't want to email me, I'll just tell you it's a good thing right now, and you should try it.
Oh, and Mick, let me mention, just in case people don't know, so if you have been around for a while and you have studied the precepts, this is something that you can do in the cloud. So Mick actually flew into town for it, which is pretty fun. But we do have a way of doing the ceremony in a meaningful way on the cloud.
I'll tell you how I've led a couple of like discussions before, and my process for doing that generally looks like I try to find as many books as I can, and I pick little sections out of the book, and I'll read quotes. And I've done it a couple of times before, and I think I'm really personally, I'm very preoccupied with being correct, like with doing it right. And so the talks I've given in the past, like they kind of feel like book reports, because I'm just like, ooh, this is what Shohaku Okumura thinks, and this is what Taz Ta-Nehisi thinks, and then I'll just like spray a bunch of stuff at everybody. And I feel like I'm kind of tired of that. And so for this one, for the three pure precepts, I have basically done no reading. I just asked myself what I thought about them and just sprayed my thoughts onto some sticky notes that I had in front of me. So this is going to be a little different than what I'm used to. And I'm a little nervous about it, but we're going to try it. But the number one thing, the number one thing that I feel about the precepts, and especially the three pure ones, the ones that we're going to talk about tonight, and we'll read them in a minute, but I think to me, they are the sort of they're the sort of announcement that this is hard work. That the precepts are like they're about reflection in a way that is difficult. And so in that theme, we're going to do a little bit of hard work this evening. And what I want to ask everybody to do, and I recognize this is going to be difficult, we're going to get into small breakout rooms of about three. We're going to start with breakout rooms. And what I want us to do is in groups of probably three or four, I want you, everybody in the group to spend about 2 or 3 minutes uninterrupted. So when you have the floor, you have the floor. And I want you to just kind of talk about how you feel when you practice, like what kind of feelings your practice give you. It doesn't necessarily have to be Zazen specifically, but sort of like I feel calm, or maybe like peaceful or still. And don't let yourself off the hook. Take like 2 or 3 full minutes, use the time, and really think about, well, what like I feel peaceful but almost connected or something. So I really want you to try to spend some time talking about how your practice feels to you. And while you're listening, everybody will go for about 2 or 3 minutes, kind of try to keep track of your time. If you're listening, try to be an active listener. Remember, we're not going to act or interrupt. We'll just let that person have the floor for about 2 minutes, and then we'll switch, and then other people can go. I think it's important for us to kind of like understand where our sense of practice comes from, and kind of like how it makes us feel. So I think we're going to give that a shot. If you're in the Dirt Zendo, we'll just kind of like circle up into groups of about 2 or 3. I think, Paul, we can give them about, I guess, 12 minutes if we have like a group of 4 for the breakout rooms. Does everybody feel okay with that? I was kind of thinking, I don't know, should I just go right now so everybody kind of has a sense of it, of what we're doing?
Or maybe ask if people have any clarifying questions?
Yeah, does any, I get that what I'm asking for is kind of vague. I really want people to kind of like get into it. Thumbs up, should I, or do we feel okay with it? Or should I kind of like go just so people? All right, yeah. Oh, Lee, you get your hand up?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask. So 2 or 3 minutes to mm-hmm. say feelings mm-hmm. seems like a long time mm-hmm. to me. So yeah. Maybe I'm not understanding. I
oh,
feel
yeah,
like
sure. No,
I would
totally.
Say some
yeah,
feelings
yeah.
and I'd be done in 20 seconds. So I don't.
Yeah. So I guess like what I was thinking about is that like sort of, I think, you know, for me, like I tried to do this exercise yesterday, and I think the way that you can think about it is like when you put a term out there, try to be more specific to the people that are listening. So I feel like, you know, when I practice, I feel like connected. But connected in a way that like everything seems like close almost, but not like, does that make sense? And then I might like say like what I mean when I say close, and kind of like, you know, kind of follow that thread for as long as you feel like it's got juice in it. Okay. I'm nervous about it, but let's do it. Let's go. Well, hey everybody. Welcome back. I wanted to do that, I think. I think it's worthwhile to like to take some time and kind of explore your feelings around your practice in general. I mean, I feel like a lot of one of the reasons that I find it rewarding to undertake precept work and to really kind of like dig into the precepts is, I feel strongly connected to the way that I practice. And I think it's important to like kind of like revisit that and understand that, because to me, like the three pure precepts, right? Because that's what we're talking about, are the three pure precepts. And they, I think, when we first start practicing, you know, when I came to meditation, you know, I wanted to like help, I guess. I wanted to feel like calm and it's helpful. But at some point, I think for those of us that are here, for those that like do practice, at some point it felt like something bigger, like there's something else there. And I think the precepts are that thing that kind of help connect our everyday activity to this notion of something bigger. It helps us live out a life that's like bigger than just what it looks like on the outside. I think it like precept practice helps me like act in such a way that I feel like I belong and that I'm needed in the world. And I think that like you know, when we go through this work, I think that's like, I don't know, that's just an important thing to like connect to. So let's talk about the three pure precepts. Like I remember when I started practice and I started thinking of the precepts, I blew right past the three refuges and I blew right past the three pure precepts. Cause when you read them the first time, they seem great in theory, I guess. And they're, you know, but they're not really sort of like helpful in the same way that the 10 grave precepts are. I'm going to read them real quick so that we have like a sense of what they are. And then we'll kind of like break it down a little bit more. The three pure precepts are to cease from all evil, release all self-attachment. This is the house of all the ways of Buddha. This is the source of all the laws of Buddhahood. Do only good. Take selfless action. The Dharma of perfect enlightenment is the Dharma of all existence, never apart from this present moment. Do good for others. Embrace all things and conditions. Leap beyond the holy and unholy. Let us rescue ourselves together with all beings. I think that like when we have this sense of being connected to something bigger, I think that like for me that asks the question, like this seems like a responsibility at this point. Like I feel like how do I keep this connection alive in the way that I go through my life? And the three pure precepts, I think, are almost like a prescription for like how to do the other 10. Like this is how you should like orient yourself in such a way to look at the 10 grave precepts that are almost like outlining a little more clearly what that behavior looks like. And so like I think that I think that like when we can kind of stitch all that together, I think it'll help connect practice with like everyday work. And so the first pure precept, cease from evil, release all self-attachment. I was I make smoothies for my son in the morning. He loves them for breakfast. And I was making them the other day, and I go to turn on the blender. We have this like huge blender. And I went to turn it on, and immediately it tripped the circuit breaker and flipped out. And I kind of had this moment where I thought, like, that's a really useful device, little circuit breaker, because it prevents my blender from melting because it's trying to draw too much electricity. And it's this device, and all it does is it says, like, this has gone too far and I need to stop it. And to me, that's what the first pure precept is about. Cease from all evil. It's this call to just stop, to just kind of stop from this struggle with all of these things. And it's a really interesting notion that this is the first thing. And I think in terms of like it being a template for like how to orient yourself to the 10 grave precepts is just like the first is just stop. Just simply stop and find a place of stillness. And it's really interesting because the commentary on it, I think, is kind of like a really helpful gives a really helpful insight to it, because it says, this is the source of all of the laws of Buddhahood. This is the source is this place of stillness where you can kind of get a moment of freedom from your habit energy. So it's so important for us to just stop. And I think it's interesting because, you know, it talks about these are the laws of Buddhahood. This is the source of all of the laws of Buddhahood. And I've always seen the precepts are an important part of lineage. The precepts are the things that are transmitted from ancestor to ancestor. And I think in that way that like the mind of enlightenment itself, it is in the precepts, it's here. And all of it begins with stillness. It begins with stopping. And it's such a simple act, those little like circuit breaker moments where you kind of catch yourself in your own habit energy and you're like, I just need to just to stop. And in that way, this is the prescription for all of this enlightened activity, is just notice when you come into this sort of like habitual behavior and just stop for a moment and give yourself that space, that distance. It's really hard work. It's really hard because I think, we're never really like free from our habit energy. That's not really the point of practice, is to like to escape it somehow, but it's to sort of like constantly revisit how you behave in the world and to just kind of like, when that habit energy starts to take over, when you kind of like lose sight of your practice in your everyday activity, that there's always a moment to just stop. And that kind of takes us into the second pure precept. Do only good. Take selfless action. The Dharma of perfect enlightenment is the Dharma of all existence, never apart from the present moment. I think that this precept is asking us sort of like, now that we've taken this stillness and we've been able to kind of stop and we've kind of hit that reset button, how do we re-engage with the world? How do we go out and how do we live a life that's full and vibrant where we have this activity, but how do we do it in a way that like, that holds true to our practice, that holds true to that responsibility of the connection that we have with living beings. And I think it's interesting that they mentioned that like the Dharma of all existence, the Dharma of perfect enlightenment is never apart from the present moment. That means that like right now in this present moment, this is where the Dharma of perfect enlightenment is, right? Like the opportunity to take this selfless action, the opportunity to do only good arises in every moment. It's never apart from right now. And I did like, to me, that's another call of like, this is not easy work. This is not something that you can do and complete and are finished with. This is something that arises with every moment. And it's a call to us, right? To drop our attachment to ourself and to engage with the world without that attachment, I think, to the self, without that kind of like holding on to your viewpoint. And so it's asking us to like take selfless action. Doing only good is taking selfless action, action where you're not the center of it. And it arises in every moment, which sounds really, really difficult. The third precept asks us to do good for others, to embrace all things and conditions. Leap beyond the holy and unholy. Let us rescue ourselves together with all beings. So now that we've sort of taken, with all of our precepts, with all of our daily activity, we kind of like stop, and then we kind of like re-engage with the world without the sense of self, with sort of like selfless action. And then in the third pure precept, it's asking us to do good for others, to embrace all things and conditions, to kind of see that the way that we act, that we're not separate. Nothing is not here in this present moment. Nothing is not separate from you and your practice. And there's no such thing as like yourself. And so in a way that like, in a way that these precepts are showing us this template for like engaging in the work of what it means to orient yourself to these vows that you take. This is the instructions for the rules. This is how you follow them. You stop, take action, you engage in the world in a way that like is not centered on the self. And then you can kind of like see the connectedness of everything in that action. And I think in that way, like, in some sense, it's strange that like I've kind of circled back, and I think that like these precepts are supremely important in terms of like figuring out like what it means to not kill, and what it means to not steal. I get that, but how do I engage with that in my daily life? And I think that that's the way that I've found the three pure precepts to be extremely useful, because it sort of like gives you a template for everyday action to kind of like move forward as you try to practice with the 10 precepts that we'll learn in the coming weeks. I wanted to take a second to kind of think about like, it's hard to express why I feel like these are different in a way that makes them sort of like different in a way that makes them almost like they're more vague, but also in a weird way they're more useful, because when we look at the 10 grave precepts, they're not really meant to be followed as rules. They're meant to be struggled with and kind of like wrestled with. And the way that we wrestle with them, the way that we engage with them, the way that we kind of like try our best to hold them as we move in our everyday lives, the key to that like friction point where the rubber actually meets the road, I think that that is here in these precepts, and they are kind of like listing out the challenge for us, I think, in everyday activity. I think that's all I wanted to say on them. I don't know if anybody has any questions or anything that like you want to challenge me on or ask me about, or like, I am happy to like explore kind of like where these go, or where people are kind of sitting with these.
I have a question.
Yeah, John.
Mick, thank you for that heartfelt overview. I feel like I understand them a lot better. And I also wanted to thank you for the insight of equating evil with habit energy. That was a gem. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Bruce.
I want to say thank you for the circuit breaker analogy. I thought that was pretty cool. And then also using the precepts, these pure precepts to guide all the rest of your thinking, or the other precepts and for your whole practice, I guess I would say that. I like the way you did that. I've given these talks before and I hated it, so I know. Coming up with something really good is cool. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you. Yeah, Charles.
I was just wondering, so the kind of the way that they were presented was like in a linear sort of way, was like, stop doing bad stuff, do only good stuff, and then actively do good stuff for others. Do you think it has to be in that like linear progression? Do you need like other prerequisites to like doing, like to actively do good for others? Do you have to stop doing evil things first?
Yeah, no, that's a really great question. And I think like, I kind of mentioned it, but I think that what resonates with me about these precepts is that, like, I think my understanding of the way that the precepts work is they're not meant to be kept as like a set of rules. So if I check off the first box for not killing anything, and then I check off the second box for not stealing anything, I like that I'm going to get a reward. I think that the precepts are laid out in such a way that this is the mind of enlightenment is here in these in this like document, in this living document that's transmitted right from ancestor to ancestor. It's one of the things that is like transmitted are the precepts. Those are the things that are actually transmitted in ceremonies. So I think that like the way that we interact with these things is so important, because like this is it. And like I kind of think of it as a cycle, right? Where like because like throughout our lives we're like constantly revisiting these things, and I think that enlightenment is not this like fixed thing that like, again, once you check all the boxes you got it and you're there, right? We're sort of like constantly like revisiting our own actions, and our habit energy comes back, and we kind of like have to recenter ourselves around the vows that we've made. And I think that the easiest way to do it is this kind of progression where you kind of like stop, take a moment, and then kind of like engage from a selfless perspective. And then I think the third precept is almost like look around you and realize that everything is, that you're not separate from any of it, so that the action you take is not you doing good for others in this dualistic way. It's just acting in accordance with what is there. So yes and no. I don't know if that answered your question or not, but I think that's kind of the way I think about it, almost cyclical, in that we're always sort of having to pause and reframe.
Quick follow-up question. Are the precepts like written down anywhere on the like website, or is there like somewhere? Because I feel like if I had them memorized, I would have a better chance of like following.
That's one of the first things that I did when I started practice, and I like in memorizing them, I wrote them out a bunch, and I skipped the three pure precepts and I skipped the three refuges. They're in the chant book is online, and we link to it, like and it's actually in it's called the Kyoju Kaimon, and it starts on page 27.
And the Kyoju Kaimon is on the website separately, and there is a page on the website that just has the precepts too.
Okay, thank you.
And just to speak to the, I like it, like, do you have to stop doing evil before you can start doing good? I like that. I mean, I would say, like, you know, like Mick was talking about, it's like in this moment, you would have to stop doing evil in order to do good in this moment. But you, if you look at a longer frame of time, you could still be doing some evil in your life. And at certain moments, you could be doing good. And then you could be doing some, you know, self-absorbed stuff again. So, you know, looks like Betty and then Judith.
Thanks, Mick. Thank you for the talk too. Can you guys hear me okay? So I struggle with the word evil, and this kind of circling back to our breakout session in the beginning, some of the feelings that come up for me in practice is inadequacy. Inadequacy.
Now you're speaking my language, baby. That's what I'm talking.
Yeah. And it was a kind of a, you know, I wasn't the only one that sort of brought that term up, but
yeah.
So, you know, I look at these precepts and it's like, okay, I'm a failure. I can't do any of this stuff, or especially these three, like, and especially the first one. It's like, okay, I got all this self-attachment, so I'm evil. So I'm evil, and now I can't do good. So I'm a failure, and I'm inadequate at all this stuff. So I still keep doing it. I still keep doing the practice. We talked about that in our group too. But yeah, so that's all.
Help. So this is I struggle with practice inadequacy often, and I think to me the three pure precepts are a message of like hope, because like the Dharma of perfect enlightenment is the Dharma of all existence, and it's never apart from this present moment. Whatever your practice looked like 10 seconds ago, it doesn't matter anymore. The Dharma of perfect enlightenment is here and now, and pushing the stop button, having your circuit breaker moment, it can happen any moment, and moment to moment we're constantly presented with the opportunity to reorient. And that's actually why I love like starting with just stopping. Like, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. But every moment presents you with an opportunity to just stop. Just stop. And in moments when I feel like my practice reinforces how I am in the world, that first step of do only good kind of like just kind of naturally flows out of it. It's almost a strange sensation of like, once you push the pause button, this sort of like natural activity just kind of like, I don't know, comes out.
And I do want to say, every time we read this and it says evil, I'm like, didn't I change that? because there's some other, I think it might be the pamphlet. Leah, you had the pamphlet. Does it say evil in there? Because I thought I changed it to like.
Cease from harm.
Yeah, I thought it was changed from harm.
Cease from harm, release all self-attachment.
So in the booklet, it says harm.
Yeah.
And in the chant book, it says evil.
Right.
So I think it's, you know, sometimes wrestling with a kind of triggering word is okay. But I do think there's we probably get the baggage around that term from like the Judeo-Christian background. Mm-hmm. And there's a sense of like inherently evil, you know, it's like a staining evil. It's your character. It's, which is really not a Buddhist kind of thing. I mean, harm might be a little too chill a word, but essentially that's what it is, right? It's like, it's, you know, it's a harmful action.
Yeah, Lee.
I think.
Oh yeah, Judith wanted to say something in the Zendo here. Oh my. All right. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
come on, come up close to the microphone.
I think you've answered. Several people have answered it. So yeah, my issue is with the word, and the question is, there is a range of evil, a spectrum, and that's a question mark. And then do we know when we're doing evil, just the way kids know when things are unfair? Is that the deal? Like, we know intrinsically, if you believe there's a thing called evil. I'm not sure I do, but thank you.
I think those are great questions to wrestle with. So Mick, Jinryu and Shoketsu both wanted to say something, and Leah, so that'll take us right up to the... Yeah, go ahead.
The evil thing never comes up for me. I think it's because the copy that I have framed on my dresser is cease from harm, let go of all self-attachment. To me, that's the crux of it. You know, stop leading with your ego and yourself. That's all I have to say. It's huge.
Yeah, I was going to add a little to that as well. The term evil doesn't bother me. It could just be because of the denomination of Judeo-Christian background that I have. But I often, in order to understand the precepts, think back to my Christian teaching, because I had to study it in junior high school and high school. And some of you know I'm in another community that has a spiritual path. And sometimes when we end our meetings, we end with the Lord's Prayer. And so... when I think of deliver us from evil, deliver me from evil, that means don't speed. Obey the speed limit. Don't litter. Don't do bad things. That's what I'm asking for if I follow through on that, to deliver me from doing those kind of things that I want to let go of my habit energy. I want to let go of what I'm accustomed to doing. And I want to do better for others. And that's what that's all about. And the other thing I was just going to say very briefly, we've always talked, at least I always think of the precepts as being guidelines, these as well, these three pure precepts as well. And you try. You know, it's just like when you start meditating. I started with 5 minutes at a time. And it was wonderful when I could go for 10 and then 15. You simply try. And if you don't get as far as you thought you might today, there's always tomorrow. It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong. That's what it means to me when it says leap beyond the holy and unholy. Stop judging. Nothing is holy. Nothing is unholy. Nothing is bad. Just try to be a good person. That's what this is all about to me.
Leo, I guess.
Okay, it's 9:01, so I'll make this quick. I was thinking about this, all the precepts really, but these, you know, in their essential form, how this relates to karma. And I always think of karma as being like this thing that I will never get and I will never understand. And these three precepts are just leading me right back to it. I'm thinking, well, this is like instructions about how not to create karmic ripples. Like you have to stand very still in the water and don't move. And I always think it's just like we were talking earlier in breakout, Mick was saying, or I don't know, someone was saying how hard it was, like the difficulty of it. And I would agree. It feels pretty difficult to me. It seems so simple, but when I really take these apart and really sit and study the precepts, I go, wow, it's really hard to do. But I'm hopeful because I think what I'm taking from this talk is you get a new chance every moment. So if I don't think about my past karma too much, maybe it's a good thing.
One more thing I wanted to say to Nick, that I am loving the fact that you did this on your own without reading up on it and quoting other people. I just thought, I'm so impressed with that. That's a pure way to do it. So thank you for that. It's a good way to lead us.
Any last words, Mick?
I'm grateful. Like, I'm also, the next time I will see everybody, I will be in a folding chair in the Nerd Center.
All right. We offer the merit of this Sangha meeting to all so that they may be able to obtain the truth. All Buddhas throughout space and time, all honored ones, Bodhisattvas, Mahasattvas, wind is beyond wisdom. Maha Prajna Paramita.
Thank you, Mick.
Thanks, Mick.